Man, the world wants to wipe their feet on him. They want to blame him for everything. They've got another thing coming. Right now, he's quiet. Mm-hmm. He's going to rise up one day.
Amen, that's right.
He's going to set everything in order, Carolyn.
Amen.
The Bible says he's going to take a rod of iron to do it with.
Yeah.
There might be some thick heads out there and some hard heads out there. But really, he's going to get their attention.
Yeah.
When he rises up, they're going to wish they'd listen.
That's right.
They're going to wish they'd done a few things that they know they should have did. Right. Even though they didn't do them, they're going to wish they did. Amen.
Amen.
Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. They're not prepared.
No. Nope.
But he's still coming. And I'll tell you what, on a set day, he's coming. Yeah. And they'll, some of them will have hell to pay, and it won't be nobody's fault but theirs. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But I hate the way they treat the Lord. Yeah. I like what Brother Danny did there. He's praising God in Psalm. I mean, I had to hold my hands up.
Yeah.
Bible talks about lifting up holy hands.
Amen.
I had to lift up a hand and say, Lord, woo! I like him lifted up. I like him praised.
Amen.
I like you to testify and say, I was going to say, I love the Lord. I like him lifted up in song and testimony. I want to even try to lift him up in preaching here today. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning.
Yes,
and I'll tell you what, he was lifted up in Sunday school lesson. And we want him to have his way even here today in the preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I had to put a swimming pool up yesterday, and it deprived me of my... I do a lot of studying on Saturday morning. And throughout the week, the Lord stirs my heart about several things. And I try to sort them out on which one that the Lord had me go with. And I try to be as precise as I can on delivering the message that God wants preached. And I'm very serious about that. I don't want to preach something that I don't feel God leading me to preach. And I'm glad He kind of convinced me that this is what He wanted preached today. And I don't know how to explain that to you. I just know I can tell when God is leading me in a certain direction.
That's right.
And I try to comply with that leadership and not be contrary to it. I try to submit to God's will and not mine.
Yeah.
And a lot of things I told them this morning, I'd like to preach this morning on the peacemaker. We got blessed in Sunday school this morning. Talking about the peacemaker. I'm glad he made peace. Well, there wasn't no peace with me.
Yeah.
But the Bible said there's no peace, says my God, that wicked. I didn't have no peace, but he made peace.
Amen.
He is the true peacemaker. I'd like to preach on that. But we did teach about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. And the world thinks they can have peace taking a pill or you know, drinking out of a bottle or maybe some kind of surgical procedure or something just make me have peace. I told about Michael Jackson, a sad commentary on him was that he couldn't sleep and he had a big event coming up the next day and he was going to show the world a different Michael Jackson that they'd seen yet. Like he could really, he was a good salesman, a good singer. But I'll tell you one thing, he didn't see God about the matter of sleep because I sleep like a baby.
Right.
I mean, my wife, she said, I wish I could sleep like you. I said, all you got to do is get right with God. That's I need a package deal.
Yeah.
He hit her his beloved sleep. She had, she's threatened to hit me.
Now.
And, you know, raised her voice to me. I said, hey, look, man, I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah.
And I become the enemy because I tell you the truth. I said, hey, I'm just telling you the truth. You won't be able to sleep. Just get right with God. You'll sleep like an angel.
Yeah.
You'll sleep like a baby.
Amen.
But anyway, for what it's worth, Michael Jackson, he hired this doctor to come to his house, gave him no telling how much money.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't care what you got to do. I got to sleep. Mm-hmm. I got a big event tomorrow. Wouldn't that have been something? Michael Jackson said, God, I need to sleep. Can you please give me some sleep? Wouldn't that have been something?
Yeah,
that would have been something.
But see, that would have been his last option. And I heard about a woman one time, she come to the doctor, and the doctor, he tried every procedure known to man, and every pill known to man. He called her back in his office and he said, ma'am, we need to talk. He said, I've tried everything known to man. I've tried every procedure, every pill. And he said, I only know one other thing to do. She said, oh my God, what? He said, we need to pray. She said, has it come to that? That's where it ought to start.
Yeah,
I know people think that's the last option. That's where we need to start at. Pray about everybody. Man, I pray about even praying, whether it's right to pray about certain things or not.
Yeah.
I say, Lord, give me leadership in prayer. I don't want to just throw prayers out there. I want to hit target. I want to hit bullseye, brother.
That's right.
Anyway, Michael Jackson told his doctor, for no telling how much money, I'll give you so much money just getting you to sleep. And this doctor, Brother Danny, he's not an anesthesiologist. Right. They get paid a lot of money to put you to sleep.
Right.
Because they have to bring you back to life.
Yeah. Right.
And this doctor put Michael Jackson to sleep, but he had not been an anesthesiologist, and he didn't measure the right amount. I guess chloroform, I don't know what he used to put him to sleep with, but Michael Jackson never woke back up.
Right.
And the doctor, you know, he tried everything. It really wasn't the doctor's fault. He just done what Michael Jackson told him to do. But wouldn't it have been better if Michael Jackson just said, Lord, would you let me sleep?
Right.
Let me have some sleep. I'm glad, praise God, I can sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get bed last night at 12 o'clock, but from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock this morning, I slept. I mean, I slept like a baby.
Right.
I mean, buddy, I didn't have no interruptions at all. And I thank God that he can do that.
Amen.
They'll go anywhere but to God. Okay, let's get with our lesson this morning. I'm chasing rabbits a little bit here, just enjoying the spirit here. Good spirit in singing.
Amen.
Had good Sunday school. And that's a product of God. I'm telling you right now. The one that created everything said it's good. Put his blessing on it. But we're going to preach today out of Proverbs chapter 1. And I kind of wish I'd titled this message something different. But I'm still going to go with what Lord put it in my heart to title it. I'm going to preach today on fear warning. And the main topic is fear. And the subject we're going to read right here in these verses, starting in verse 22, is God's warning about the matter of fear. And this is pretty simple. It's really not hard to understand this warning God gives the world. And he says to everyone, how long, you simple ones, I'm starting in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners, or let me read it exactly as it is. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. That's quite a verse.
Yes, it is.
Now God put it in context here, and he just says it two words, how long?
Yes.
In other words, what's it going to take? And he gives advice. Look in verse 23. Two words. Two words, how long? And in two words, turn you.
Yeah.
God says so much in those two words. Not only does he say how long, he says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known, or I will make known my words unto you.
Yeah.
Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I also, there's another two word statement of God, will laugh. You say God laughs? Says here he does.
Yeah.
God said, I also will laugh at your calamity. Mm-hmm. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is kind of a rough message, but it don't really pertain to you and I. And I'll give you some good comment about that here in a minute. God says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now here's someone now they're ready to fear.
Yeah.
They're ready to hear, Brother Ed.
Yes.
In verse 28, God says then, one word. It shouldn't have come to this.
That's right.
One word, God says then,
right.
Brother Mitchell, shall they call upon me,
right.
But I will not answer. They shall seek me. There's those two words from God. They shall seek me early. That's what God said to do. Seek me early and you'll find me.
Yeah. Amen.
They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Right.
They would none of my counsel.
Right.
They want nothing to do with God. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Right.
I'm not interested in going to church. I'm just not interested in hearing about anything to do with God.
Right.
This is a sad commentary.
Yes, it is.
And God's speaking this. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was Jesus teaching humanity, and I said he's teaching lost humanity, and his teaching saved humanity.
Yeah,
this message today speaks more to lost humanity. But he says, they, talking about lost humanity, would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. I'm just not that way. I'm not interested. I'm just not religious. You just take it. That's not for me. They didn't want nothing to do with God. Now, he says they're going to eat of the fruit of that. Verse 31, he says, therefore, one word warning, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You see, a lot of people have turned away from God, and that's caused a lot of people to fall like dominoes.
Yeah.
A lot of people lead people like the Pied Piper away from God.
Right.
That's right.
And the Good Shepherd tries to lead people back to the flock, to the house of God. But a lot of people are led away by the simple and the prosperity. They say, look, hey, I'm not saved. Look how rich I am. Look, Brother Jerry picked up that song about the riches of this world. You know, the riches of this world, the Bible does say the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people want the riches.
That's right.
Without God. I'm glad I'm rich in God. I'm not rich in this world's sake, but I'm rich in that sake. I'm rich in God. And I thank God for those riches because they're the true riches. But the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And then God puts a good verse right here at the end. But whoso, see, whosoever can come to God. Whosoever can call upon God. Unless you're in the category of this one here he mentions that went too far. They ignored it. They were in denial. Now they're in trouble. Their fear now has come upon them. Their destruction has come upon them. Their distress and anguish is upon them. And now they make an eternal decision. It's too late. The door's shut.
Yeah.
Just like God shut the door of Noah's Ark. They're on the outside and won't in. He says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, and I'm glad I did, shall dwell safely, and I'm glad I do, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And that's our preaching message this morning. I'm glad that we are quiet from the fear of evil.
Yeah.
Father, bless, I pray, the preaching of this context. Lord, we're here for such a time as this. I pray you'll open the door of our heart so your word may have entrance.
Amen.
I pray you'll come in and sup with us and allow us to sup with you. Lord, visit, I pray, our hearts today from on high. May we leave this service today saying it's been good to be in God's house.
Right.
May we be challenged, Lord, to realize how blessed we are. And Lord, may we leave, Lord, under that thought, Lord, that we're truly blessed because, Lord, that you come to us and we allowed you to take your rightful place upon the throne of our heart, and it is well with our soul. There is peace in the valley for us. And we're so thankful, Lord, to know a better day is coming. Help us, Lord, today.
Amen.
Lord, a lot of people wanted to be here today, and Lord, sickness wouldn't afford them being here, but Lord, these have made the effort. They're here. We're thankful for them. And bless those that are here. Those, Lord, that wasn't able to be here, I pray they'll be able to hear this message today and know that we love them, wish that they could have been here. Lord, I pray they'll still be able to hear it by way of internet. I pray your blessing upon them as well as your blessing upon these. For all these things, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God gives a warning. And it's a fearful warning. The Bible mentions in the book of Hebrews, talking about he that despised Moses' law was put to death and had a certain fearful looking under judgment. And that fearful looking under judgment is kind of contained in the context of these scriptures that we've read. But I want to talk first of all about our fear. God tells us, he told Abraham, fear not.
Yes.
In Genesis 15:1. Why? He said, I'm your shield. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of. I'm shielding you.
Amen.
I'm glad, praise God, that he's ahead of me. Or I'm glad that he's my shield that goes before me to shield me, Callan, from the adversary, from the wicked one, the devil. Amen. God says, I'm your shield. You ain't got no reason to fear. He says, fear not, Abraham.
Amen.
Not only Brother Mitchell, he said, fear not. I'm your shield. He said, I'm your exceeding great reward.
Right. Yeah. Right. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You know what? That's good for Abraham.
That's it. That's right.
But you know what? That's our promise too.
Yeah, right.
I'll explain that here in a minute where you can understand that, but I'm glad to promise Abraham. I was always a little bit jealous that I wasn't a Jew. I thought, Lord, why couldn't I have been a Jew? And I found out I was a Jew, Brother Danny.
Yeah.
I found out that through Christ, I'm a spiritual seed of Abraham.
Right.
And the promise of God that was bestowed upon Abraham befell upon me through Christ. Praise God, I got every one of them. Amen.
Right.
I mean, all the promises in Him, Sister Joanne, are yay, amen. I got every one of them. I didn't miss out on one of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I got the bread by you. Amen.
Amen.
He gave us, I mean, all the juice, the hearts, and everything. Said, "Joy, woo!"
Come on now.
Hallelujah! He told Abraham. He said, "Fear not, Brother Mitchell."
Yeah.
I'm just glad I don't have to fear no more.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I had a lot. I wasn't putting this message. I had to cut it out because I knew we just take so much.
That's right.
I had to leave a lot of it out.
Amen.
I hate that I did. I wish I put it in there anyway. But anyway, God told Abraham, fear not. He tells us, fear not. I'll tell you why, because we're saved.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, those promises are ours through Christ. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
Now look, there's a lot of things going on right now, and I don't like it.
That's right.
But even in the midst of all the things going on,
right.
Brother Ed, God says, don't let your heart be troubled.
That's right.
He said, settle it in your hearts. It's all right.
That's right.
I mean, praise God. The same God that promised Abraham, he is his shield. And see, the great reward promised us the same. And that's why we don't have to fear. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe without me. He says, perfect love. That's John 14, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4, 18. God's perfect love will take care of our fear problem.
That's right.
It says to our fear, fear not.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now you can say, I will fear no evil, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah. Come on.
Why? For thou art with me. That's a good enough reason not to fear.
That's right. He's going to be with me.
He said, I'm here, boy.
That's right.
He said, no, I'm not here. He said, my rod, my staff, they comfort me, amen.
Yeah.
I like being comforted. I'm a little bit spoiled.
That's
part of being saved.
That's
all these kids just let the window, amen. I mean, he loads my wagon down, amen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a handshake and neighbor's sure from your head. Depressed day.
Yeah.
We come to, I'm glad. God says, fear not. He said, fear no evil.
That's right.
I'm telling you, He's with us. His rod, His staff will comfort us. Now you can say, like the psalm that said, Psalms 56, verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. That brings back a precious memory. Now, Joanne, when I first got saved 30 years ago, April 27, 1988, I'm trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to finish my Bible before the end of the year. I mean, I should have done read my Bible through. You know, I'm 34 years old. I've never even opened a Bible. So I'm trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
We had a house that time. It was six bedrooms, like we needed that much of a house. But let me say this about that and be as kind about it as I can. We bought that house from a woman that lost it from gambling. And that's the same woman that was wife to my uncle, Keith Wallace, that Brother Harvey wanted me to try to get Keith to come, and I did. I tried without success to get Keith to come. But this week, I run into his wife at the post office. I said, where's Uncle Keith? She said, Eddie, he died 2 months ago. And I didn't really approve of him marrying her, but that wasn't my decision. That was his. ain't got no dog in that. I'll just tell you right now, don't. He's old. He's 89 years old. He can do whatever he wants to.
That's right.
You don't need anybody to tell you what to do.
That's right.
But anyway, I don't think he made a good choice. I think he could have chose better. But we bought that 6-bedroom house, Sister Sharon, from a woman. And that basement was full of tickets and horse races and stuff like that. It just shows you the aftermath of making
wrong decisions. Yeah, that's right.
And I'm kind of concerned about this state of my Uncle Keith Wallace. He passed away.
Right.
I didn't even know it. I'd have went to his funeral if I'd known it. I can't help the fact that I wasn't notified. They all have my number. They all know me. I mean, I got cousins, which is his son, the daughter, Mark and Rick and Jenny. They could have called me. Jenny don't live too far from me, but I don't blame them. I wish I hadn't even said that. But I missed the funeral of my uncle.
Yeah.
And anyway, let me get back if I can find where I was there. See if I can remember my thought here. I was chasing a rabbit there just a little bit here. What time, I'm afraid? Okay, I was trying to play catch up. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you got a pretty brain like mine, I don't know how in the world God could use it. I was trying to play catch up. And I remember one of the bedrooms of our house, so we had 6 bedrooms, we had 3 up, 3 down. It's just me and my wife, and I think it's 2 kids at that time. Anyway, I'm in there reading my Bible, and it's storming outside, just right outside the house. This house, it's shaking, the windows are rattling. I mean, I was a little afraid. I'm not going to say something stupid and say I wasn't afraid. I was a little bit fearful, but I had just read that verse right there. Mm-hmm. Psalm 56, I had just read it, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in it. And it settled for me, I thought. What better than I do? I just trust the Lord.
That's right.
I mean, the storm's outside. I'm on the inside. And God will make the decision whether it comes in His house or not. About that time, Brother Danny, my little boy, come in the bedroom. He said, Daddy, I'm afraid. I mean, it's rattling. His windows back there. And I said, Son, I just read this verse right here, and it's all I know to do. I'll share it with you. And I read that verse to him, and he went to bed stuff like a baby. And I prayed for the family throughout the night. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a bad storm. But God has His way. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4 says God has His way in the storm and in the whirlwind.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, buddy, even though the storm's on the outside, my heart was still in His hand.
Right.
And I was trusting in Him. And by the way, it went well with us. And it'll go well with all that put their trust in Him. But our fear is a good fear.
Right.
Our fear is the right kind of fear.
Come on.
But let me say this on the negative side of fear. And this is really what I'm preaching about today. 2 points. Fear is a good motivator.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bible said Noah moved with fear.
Yes, he did.
To preparing an ark for the saving of his home, his family. Fear made Noah move.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
He may have been a procrastinator like me. Brother Mitchell, need to be motivated.
Amen.
But fear, the Bible said, Noah moved with fear.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, 30 years ago, I moved with fear.
That's right.
I mean, a preacher preached up one side, down the other side of me.
Yeah.
And I mean, he convinced me not only the fact I was a sinner, he convinced me the fact I was going to hell as good as everybody didn't get saved.
That's right.
And I have to admit, I moved with fear.
Yeah.
I started seeking a refuge for my soul, and I fretted, and I went everywhere. Trying to find out how to be saved, what I need to do to be saved, what it meant to be saved. I mean, I don't blame nobody but myself being that ignorant about God, about salvation, but I'm glad God led me all the way to Calvary, got me good and saved, and Saturday, right there at the foot of the cross, amen. It's well with my soul. There's peace in the valley for me now, amen.
Amen.
Fear's a good motivator. It moved Noah. It moved me. I'll tell you, buddy, when the pains of hell got a hold of me, like Psalm 116 verse 3 says, I started seeking a refuge for my soul, and I didn't stop until I had laid hold on eternal life.
Yes.
1 Timothy chapter 6, right. Verse 12.
Amen.
But the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And instead of teaching our children about the fear of the Lord. They teach our children this nonsense of gender identity.
Yeah,
and we need to be teaching them about God instead of that nonsense.
Man.
Now, they want stability in the schools. And listen, there's no fear of God being taught our children, and then evil says, your children are mine now. Yeah. I'll teach them to kill, to hurt, to rebel, and be confused.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, let me get back to that gender identity. There is an agenda to that.
Yeah.
See, they want to impregnate the minds of our children to where they'll accept not just the gay lifestyle, but be gays themselves. See, gays can't reproduce.
No. That's right.
So if you don't teach your children about God, then you teach them gender is no big deal anyway. So now you can have a baby and they call it an X baby. It's got to wait till it gets so old to decide what it is.
Oh.
Now, is that confusion? And by the way, God's not the author of confusion.
No, He's not.
And that's what's being taught in our schools. I'm going to spend just a little while right here, put it in park just a minute. Our school system needs a complete overhaul. I don't know how in the world we allowed this to creep in, but I know one thing. We need to set down our foot and say, no more. Throw that junk out. I don't care if they don't teach them nothing but reading, writing, and arithmetic. Get this life from hell. Get it out of our school.
Amen.
I'm tired of blood running down the halls.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people being hypnotized and be dazzled into believing lies from hell. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
That's right.
I know it's politically motivated.
Yes.
I know it's prophecy also. What do you mean, Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
Well, God had to overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right.
That's right.
With an overthrow.
That's right.
Because
amen.
One of your sad verses in your Bible, Brother Jerry, is Genesis 13:13. That number 13 is bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
So God gave a double whammy on that verse.
Yeah.
It said the men of Sodom were wicked sinners above all men. That's wicked as you need.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I'm quoting that too, Kevin. I ain't got it broke down up here. Must study. I'll tell you right now, they'll preach a good. We got preachers today need to be studying, show themselves approved unto God.
That's right.
I appreciate y'all accepting me to be your pastor. I'm humbled to be here. I know of nothing. Mm. The good thing is I know it. But it's a privilege to stand for God anywhere in any capacity. And I'm thankful to be here. I truly am. But this politically motivated teaching going on in schools, it's also prophecy minded. You see, Sodom didn't get that way without some help.
Right.
They had to allow a few things. You know, they had to be politically correct. Yeah. They had to make some exceptions, you know, and they had to fold some things out and put some things in. Now, y'all may not understand what I'm trying to tell you here. This is how wicked homosexuality is. When Lot brought these two angels into his house, and these men compassed his house and went beating on that door and intent of breaking it down, and they said, let us deliver those men into our hands, that we may know them. Know them means have sexual relations with them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't be candid here. And Lot offers his two virgin daughters as never known a man. And he said, do what? Now that's terrible to have a father like
him. Yes, it is. Right.
But that shows you how bad it can get when you make exceptions. Lot should have never been there. What business has Lot in Sodom, and the church is going the same direction?
Amen.
Cancer got about 3 weeks to live.
That's right.
You know that Fox News announcer, at least his doctor's nice enough telling him he had just a short time to live.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go to the doctor and him tell me everything's all right with me, because that'd give me time if I knew I had short time to go make some things right. So hug some neck and say, hey, I'm leaving out.
I
want you to know I'm saved. I'll be leaving. I'm going away to all the earth. But anyway, See if I can find my way back to where I left off there. It's a Sodom had no business down there. A Lot had no business down in Sodom.
Not again.
So he made a decision, right, Brother Ed? He took Miss Lot and his children down there.
Yeah.
Now understand this. He's got two son-in-laws. Mm-hmm. But he's got two daughters they ain't never known of him. Do the math on this. I mean, it's kind of profound here, but I'm going to try to break it a little bit best I can. Mm-hmm. So he's got his wife, his kids down in Sodom. It's as wicked can be.
Yeah, that's right.
Here the Lord is. Amen. He invites these men. He knows the men of God, Brother Mitchell. He recognizes there's something different about these men. He said, don't lodge in the streets, come in my house. See, he thinks he can somehow hide what's going on.
Right.
They ain't going to hide and see.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Come out.
Yeah,
I mean, you plan it, whatever, it's still going to bleed through. But anyway, whatever, it's still going to come up. He tells them, come in his house. And after much persuading, they agree, they go in, and here comes these Sodomites. And they're beating on that door, Brother Danny. And they said, we saw them men come in your house. Bring them out to us. We may know them, because they want to have a homosexual affair with these men. Lot tries to bargain with sin. You can't bargain with sin.
No.
Take my two daughters, leave these men alone.
Right.
That's not a very good father that would even offer something like that to begin with. But then Lot says he's going to go out and reason with them. You can't reason with sin.
Amen.
No. Now when it says they're about to break down the door,
that's right.
I really don't want to elaborate on this.
Right.
But those angels had to reach out there and grab Lot and bring him in.
Right.
There's something going on right there, and I don't really want to speak about it. You know what I mean? Some things it's a shame to speak about.
Yeah,
I don't want to speak about what they're doing a lot right there at his very doorstep. But they drag him in, and they smite these men with dark, with blindness. They can't see nothing, but they're groping about trying to figure out where they're at.
Yeah.
You know what? God's showing himself to be God.
Right.
He drags Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of Sodom and says, don't look back.
Yeah,
I can understand and sympathize with Lot's wife looking back when the fire fell.
That's right.
Didn't he have two son-in-laws?
Yes, he did.
Don't they tell me he got two daughters that's married?
Yeah.
I can sympathize somewhat with her looking back. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't really blame her. What mother wouldn't look back?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
I certainly understand God smiting her for her disobedience.
Yeah.
She began to peel us off.
Amen.
Listen, we need to get this junk out of our schools. I want to spend more time right here. This ought not to be so. I know it's prophecy. I know it's got to be like the days of Lot before the Lord comes back. But I certainly don't want to condone it. I certainly condemn it with the strongest condemnation. I can take the Bible. I don't care how learned they are. I can take the Bible and thoroughly prove to them it's an abomination.
That's right.
It's a wicked sin. I can thoroughly prove
it. That's right.
Yeah. But I'm not no novice. I'll tell you that right now. I don't bear the sword in vain. I can certainly use it. I use it pretty good. I try to be nice.
Yeah.
My pastor said, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. I try to be kind.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible does say, if it be possible.
Yeah.
As much as life in you, live peacefully with all men. I strive to live peacefully. There's some things I have to be firm about. Our children are the victims.
Yes, they are.
That's right.
Of this promoting this lifestyle in our schools. You may not understand how this works. Oh, by the way, do your children have any problem knowing which bathroom to go to? You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
This confusion.
Yeah.
Is it working? Hey, they can't figure out much about them. They don't even know what sex they are.
No,
that's right. Amen.
We got to get things back to where they ought to be. I got to get off of that. Golly, there's just too much territory there. But listen, evil wants our children. The devil wants to teach them wrong.
Yeah.
He wants to teach them to do wrong.
Amen.
He wants to teach them to rebel and to be confused.
Yeah.
I shared this in Sunday school, and I feel like I ought to share it again. Hearing this message. I got time. Anybody remember about the shooting at Columbine School?
Yeah.
In that shooting, there was a young girl named Kathy Bernard. She's a teenager. I think she's 16, to be honest with you. She was a rebel. Hard to deal with. Her friend Sister Rita invited her to a youth camp meeting about a week before this shooting. Kathy Bernard went to that youth camp meeting. She got saved.
Amen.
She's not a rebel no more. But the devil's not happy neither.
No.
He's mad.
Amen.
I mean, here she is. She's gave her heart to Jesus. She loves the Lord now. She's changed her attire. She looks different. She talks different. She acts different. These two goons come into school with trench coats and AK-47s, and they walk up to Kathy Bernard and they ask her, Carolyn, they say, are you a Christian? Her last word was, yes, I am, and they killed her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they want your children.
Yeah.
Now, they couldn't take her life. They thought they did. All they did was give her exit.
That's right.
Go home quicker. Yep. This ain't our home.
Nope.
We're just sojourning on the way home. We'll make our exits one day if the Lord shows up. Now we'll make our exits through death. But the devil wants your children. She just gave her heart to the Lord. And fear is a good motivator. I'm sure that was a fearful moment. Yeah. Can you imagine someone with an AK-47 pointing at you and saying, are you a Christian? Can you imagine what you'd feel at that moment? Her last words, Carolyn, yes, I am. And he shot her.
That's right.
When the Lord put that martyr's crown on her head,
yes, amen.
You know what? She said his word.
That's right.
Our pastor said that martyr's crown outshine them all.
That's yes,
right.
He will.
He said, I don't want to be killed, but I sure would like to have a martyr's crown. I said, oh, how did you get it, Brother Rick?
Amen.
He said, I'm a coward. But I'll tell you what, I believe the Lord give us grace in that moment. I believe she had the Lord there with her to help her. You know, that's what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's when that really comes to play right there. But fear is a good motivator. It ought to cause the whole world to repent and receive the Lord and get saved. Fear is a good motivator. But see, the world, they don't want no fear of God before their eyes. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They try to throw it out. They don't want the schools. Separation of church. There's going to be a separation of church and state.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. God's coming for the church. The state's being left behind, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
They're going to get their separation of church.
That's right.
Now that's misconstrued. All that.
Amen.
Well, you know, when that statement was made, it just meant that the church superseded the government. That's all it meant. That the government was not to tell the church what to do. The church was actually above the government when it came to saying what's being done in the church. That's all that statement is about.
Yeah.
Really it is. It's been misconstrued like everything else. Most of the news been misconstrued. This separation of immigrant children from their parents, that's misconstrued.
Yeah.
If you knew the truth, these children are being treated better than they were at Barack Obama. And the situation is better than it was at Barack Obama, but it's misconstrued. And it works well for them. They do really good with that kind of propaganda. Oh, they're wearing the president out. They're wearing the people out with it. But fear is a good motivator. Let me say this. Fear, when it comes to the fear of God, God's not mocked.
That's right.
Galatians 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. I saw a bumper sticker one time, Brother Ed. I was pulling up there to the square, and a light caught the guy in front of me. And I pulled up behind him, and his bumper sticker said, no fear.
Yeah.
One over on the right-hand side of the bumper said, heaven won't have me, and that's a lie, because
that's right.
Heaven wants everyone there.
That's right.
I mean, whosoever can go to heaven.
That's right.
But his other bumper sticker, Brother Mitchell, said, heaven won't have me, and hell's afraid I'll take over. Now, you talking about, boy, that guy, he needed heaven.
That's right.
That's kind of what God's talking about when your fear comes.
That's right.
I mean, Voltaire, that great infidel over in England that had so much money, didn't have God. That had enough sense to get saved, didn't use it. He's pretty strong till death came.
Yeah. Right.
And they said for 3 miles you could hear him screaming.
Right.
His nurse had to leave him. She had to run. She couldn't take it no more.
Yeah.
She said, if I ought to go to England, I'll not sit with another infidel.
That's right.
For 3 miles you could hear him screaming. They're coming for me. They're dragging me down. They're putting chains on me. Somebody help me. Mm. He turned down the help of God.
Right.
All his gold couldn't help him. All of his power and prestige, all his friends said, be strong. He said, I'm strong. Don't worry, I got Voltaire, the great infidel. He knows about this message here. He paid the price, Brother Danny, for not retaining God and His knowledge. He paid the price for not fearing God, not receiving God. He paid dearly for that. But he left behind a scary testimony. That bumper sticker, he still speaks volumes to me. Heaven won't have me, and hell is afraid I'll take over. Let me give you just a few thoughts here. Those mighty centurion soldiers that were commanded to watch over the tomb of Jesus.
Yeah.
That nobody might not get into the tomb to see the Lord Jesus. When that angel came down from heaven to roll that stone back so everybody could see it's empty, he's not here, he is risen, those men became as dead men.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish Laura had been here this morning, because I was going to say they screamed like little girls. You'll have to tell me, don't put any mystery being here, because they screamed like a little girl when that angel showed up. They lost all their masculinity, and they fainted for fear.
That's right.
They became as dead men. They weren't able to do nothing. And the world thinks, that God's afraid they'll take over. And I'm telling you, boy, they got something coming. They fainted for fear when that angel came down to roll away that stone. Matthew 28, verse 4. One of the signs connected with the return of the Lord, by the way, next month is supposed to be Blood Moon Month. It's got the world all worked up. It's got scientists afraid. They're wondering. Matter of fact, check your internet. They're wondering, is this the coming of the Lord? Is this a sign of the end of time?
It is.
I'm telling you, there is going to be signs. And one of them is the moon's going to be turned into blood.
Right.
Sun's going to be turned into sackcloth.
Amen.
And just a lot of things. But one of the things that I like in connection with the return of the Lord, it said, and men's hearts shall fail them for fear.
Yeah, right.
If we're looking on those things coming upon the earth. I'm telling you, buddy, there's a hell to pay for denying God. God offers His mercy. God offers His hand. That godless bunch is going to get their reward. Amen.
They are.
And I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But Luke chapter 21, verse 26 talks about men's hearts failing them because of fear. Let me sum it up, this last thing here. In Daniel chapter 5, there's a politician. Actually, he's the king. But this politician ruling is king. His name's Belshazzar. And he's mocking God. And he goes so far in his mocking God that he tells them to go out there and get the golden vessels out of the house of God and bring them that they drink wine in them.
Yeah.
And his concubines, that's a nice word for what they were, and his lords and him are mocking God as they drink wine in the vessels of God. And all of a sudden, a little finger starts writing on the wall over here, Rita.
Yeah.
A little finger starts writing on the wall. You know, there's a sin and a death.
Yeah.
Ananias and Sapphira's, they know all about it. But anyway, this finger started writing on the wall, and the laughter stopped. The Bible said this politician, this King Belshazzar, y'all went down to visit Elvis's mansion. Well, there's a whole lot of shaking going on, Belshazzar. So much, his knees came out of joint.
Yeah, right.
Now, look, my knee hurt when I was digging that swimming pool, digging on that thing. And I went and got my neighbor's tractor. My knee still hurt when I was working the clutch. But my knee didn't come out of joint. I mean, I know my old wore out and he traded in for a new model, you know what I mean? I understand that. But I'll tell you right now, this man shook so much, Brother Jerry, his knees came out of joint. That's a lot of shaking.
Yes, it
is. I mean, he ain't laughing no more. Matter of fact, it's a good thing he ain't laughing no more, because he died that very night.
Yeah.
And the world's just like Belshazzar. They think they can mock God. They think they can make fun of God, make jokes about God. God says, I'm going to laugh.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I'm looking forward to the day when God laughs.
Amen.
He deserves all He offered and suffered for lost humanity to be saved. If anybody ever had a right to life, God does.
Amen.
If anybody ever had a right to say, I'm God and you're not, it's Him. Amen.
That's right.
I mean to tell you, buddy, He's not just mighty, He's almighty.
Yeah.
The devil's mighty, but He ain't almighty. When Almighty God stands up, when Almighty God says it's over, boys, time's going to be no more. The church age is over. Go get my children. Bring them home. I'm fixing to deal with this earth. I've had it up to here where they're mocking, where they're laughing. I'm telling you, buddy, God's going to have a last laugh. Amen.
Yes, He will.
Amen, brother. Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
That finger wrote on that wall, that finger wrote, you're a dead man.
Yeah.
That's sin unto death, 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. A lot of people have found that the hard way. I heard a story a long time ago when I first got saved, and I just barely remember it. I heard a story about a bunch of rebels, who knows what we're going to call them. They was up on the hill while they was having church, and they was drinking whiskey and throwing the whiskey bottles and busting up against the church, laughing, making fun of God. One of them threw a bottle and hit the side of the church, and a lamb fell out of a tree and killed him, stoned dead, and the other two went inside the church. That's a sober moment.
Yeah, that's right.
I hated that the boy had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
There is a sin unto death.
Yes, they are.
That lamb fell out of that tree and done what it's supposed to do. It knocked some sense in that boy. He might have got down a slow train.
Right.
He realized, buddy, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God.
Right.
Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing.
That's right.
I hate to admit God on those terms.
Yeah.
I hate to have to learn the hard way.
Right.
There is a better way to learn about the fear of God in the house of God, up through the love of God. We were taught the fear of God in the right way.
Yeah, that's right.
He was taught the fear of God, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I don't know where it was, an oak limb, or if it was a sycamore, or if it was a poplar. I just know one thing, he killed him stone dead, them other two. They shut their mouth up, went in there and sat down in the back row back there and listened to what was being said.
Yeah.
I wish something like that could happen in the world. You remember those swing tires failed?
Yeah. Right.
For about 2 weeks, boy.
Everybody went to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, the traffic jam. Policemen had to direct the traffic just so people would get to church.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Right.
I kind of wish God would do some more of that. But you know what that fearful sight? Hebrews chapter 21 talks about fearful sights. That fearful sight. I was at work. I remember I came in the break room and one of the tires had a plane stuck in it and it was on fire. I said, what's going on? They said, watch. This is live. And I'm watching. Here comes another plane. Kaboom! Hit another one. I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck's going on? And then directly them two tires fell down.
Right. That's a lot of light.
For just a little while.
Right.
Fear God.
Yeah.
Was real.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It woke his country up.
Yeah, it did.
That ain't nothing compared to what's coming.
That's right.
That's right.
Fearful sights. It's a fearful thing, falling in the hands of living God. This Belshazzar, he shakes, he seeks, he wants to know what this says. And then he dies. Daniel come in. Man, he seen that. And he said, praise God, let him home. That's what one black preacher said with snow white hair on his head. He said, can you interpret that right? And he said, oh yeah, praise God, let him home. He said, you've been waiting the bounds of the foul woman, you're going to die tonight. He died that night. The king offered him a gold chain. He said, keep it.
Yeah.
I already got my gold. My God's all I need.
That's right.
I'm glad the Lord tells us, fear not, Ed.
Yeah.
I'm glad no weapon formed against me can prosper. I'm glad he said, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. Sleep like a baby. I got this.
Yeah.
He that keeps me neither sleeps nor slumber. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're counted by God.
Amen.
Woo! I'd rather be in God's hand being Fort Knox.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Might be some lunatic in there.
Yeah. That's right.
Get his hands on a gun.
Right.
Think he's got a right to take somebody's life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going with God, fellas.
That's right.
Sisters.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
If you got any sense, you'll go with God too.
That's right. Amen.
I find no fault in you.
No. That's right.
No fault at all.
That's right.
That's right.
His love's perfect. His word's perfect.
It is.
Everything he does is good. I'm going with God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank and praise you. What a blessing. Lord, it's been to expound upon your word. The great treasures, the great truths that you tell in it, Lord, are not just for Abraham, but for us. Lord, with us and whom, Lord, the ends of the world have come. We need it, Lord, more than ever. We need our children, Lord, to be taught it, to know about it. Lord, that they don't need to be confused about who their Creator is. They need to be told who their Creator is.
Yes.
They need to be taught right. Lord, the seeds that have been sown today are in. They're corruptible. They're not incorruptible like your seed. And Lord, they're bringing up a terrible crop. And the price is a terrible price. Help America, Lord, I pray, to go in, Lord, to these schools and throw this junk out. Have a holy house cleaning in our schoolhouses, Lord. At least, Lord, let our children be taught reading, writing, arithmetic. Don't let them be taught these lies from hell. Don't let them be confused about things like what gender they are or about evolution instead of creation. Lord, for all these things, Lord, we understand that the hour we're living in, Lord, it's your prophecy. The Lord, there's got to be a great falling away first before you come. We certainly understand that, Father. We certainly embrace it as truth for the day and hour we're living in. But Lord, I pray for this hour. Lord, I pray for this generation that's coming up.
Yes.
Lord, that they'll lay hold on the things of God and forsake these lies being promoted by the world. Help them, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Get Brother Jerry, please, if he would, and Sister Sharon. First of invitation, you know, you may just want to pray about something. I believe everybody here is saved. And,
yeah.
And I certainly...
Right.
Well, I told you, I'm going to preach to y'all first. We don't have nothing to fear about. We don't have to be afraid. It's well with our soul. But maybe there's something here other than that. Maybe you got a lost loved one. Maybe you got a son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson over at 80. Pray with you. If you need to, you come forward and